production of Whitfield Media Group. It's time for the fastest hour in radio, your home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll be breaking down the STP 500. We're going to hear from the winner, Mr. Brad Keselowski. We'll also discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the whole weekend in Martinsville. Later in the show, we're going to talk about Texas Motor Speedway coming up this week. And as always, share with you our power rankings and picks to win. We've got all that and more. Today's Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left now, we have Jason Hildebrand. And sitting across where I have to look at his ugly face for a whole hour, I've got the one, the only super producer, Mr. Scott Webb.
Hey, you should be, it's a rare privilege to be able to sit across from you.
That's what I hear from your wife. She says that all the time.
Welcome to the Valvoline Instant Oil Chain Severe Weather Center.
No kidding. It's, well, is it? I mean, or just hey, weather center. Can we go with that route?
It's severe something in here.
That is true. So, gentlemen, Jason, did you have a good trip up from Chattanooga?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
It's probably a little less crowded than normal.
That it was.
Yeah, it was. Definitely was.
I noticed that a lot. I know Scott's probably already had, what do you think, Jason, two naps already today?
Well, I was in the middle of one nap, and then I had to come back up here to, for those of you who don't know, we do the show live from Walker Valley High School. So it's a pleasure to be back at work again this afternoon.
That is what you're getting paid for. So I mean,
yeah, the big dollars. I'm making the big dollars here on Racing Talk Radio.
You do have that 1 year contract. That's good. So I think Heater, if we miss work, right? It's kind of.
I don't want to listen. I don't want a banker talking to me.
I still get paid if I don't go to work.
That is true.
Yeah, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear from a banker.
3 to 4 weeks vacation in comparison to 3 months. So
here we go.
I mean, you know, the life you live.
Let it begin. It's only the beginning of this. You know,
it is. Don't
you? Absolutely. All right, guys. So we were back short track racing this past weekend at Martinsville, and you know, it's always great at Martinsville because you kind of get to go back. I want to say reminisce, but you go back into the older days. That track's been around for a long time. They've had a lot of races there. A lot of the older drivers have run there.
70th running, I believe. Yeah. The 70th year of running races there. So a lot of tradition there.
Very much so. And it always, Jason, makes it exciting when you go back and you know there's going to be some good racing. You know there's going to be bumping. You know there's going to be people mad at each other. And I think we got all that this weekend.
Hey, definitely. You know, a few people mad at each other. There was some bumping out there. You know, one of the fun things to watch is a lot of the in-car stuff. You know, when you're watching it on TV, I don't know how many folks out there listen to the show, watch it on TV, but, you know, you see these guys going 100-some-odd miles an hour, then hit the brakes. Go back 100-some-odd miles an hour, hit the brakes. So, I mean, it's, you know, what did they say, 1,000 drag races?
Yeah.
You know, basically. So, you know, it's really fun to watch, and it's one of my favorite races out there.
Absolutely. I love the style of the track. There's a lot of, you know, you got to worry about those tight turns, those long straightaways there, the speed bump, the curb around each turn. So a lot of factors. It's a lot of fun, a lot of beating and banging. And I think that's the kind of racing that people grew up on is, you know, and the race itself had its moments. There was some ups and downs and lulls in action. But overall, it's always fun. It's one of my favorite track. It's on my to-do list. I was talking to my wife this weekend. You know, I got family that lives in Martinsville. That's going to happen someday in the near future. I'm going to be at a track. I'm going to be there at the track to watch that particular race.
I hope they cook good for me and Jason when they come up there
so
we can get some food.
The more the merrier.
So a couple of takeaways from this weekend, and I really hope they do this at Bristol. I hope Goodyear brings the same tire because it seemed like that they, you know, I've never really seen them be able to run on a kind of a high line, I guess one line up from where they were at the bottom. And they were able to do that this weekend. It seems like Goodyear kind of helped establish that second group.
Yeah, you didn't see any tire issues out there. I know there was some question, Goodyear down in the pits, some question on if it was the tires. Said nobody, you got a cut one. I think that was on Logano. He had a tire issue earlier in the race, and they said, no, you cut it. It wasn't anything to do with the tire. I think Goodyear did a heck of a job out there this weekend. And like you're right, you were able to run a different line out there you hadn't seen.
And that was different, Scott. You think when, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. ran up there a while, I think Kyle Busch ran up there for a while, and they talked about it after the race, you know, being able to run up there and be competitive. Normally, in the past, if you got on that outside, you were done.
Yeah, it definitely makes for a little more interesting. Anytime we can get two grooves at a racetrack, it's that particular track, as flat as it is, it's a little less conducive to running high. High is one lane right off the curve.
You're not rim riding.
Yeah, it's not rim riding around the edge of the wall or anything like that. But anytime you can get multiple lanes, that always improves the quality of the racing. But ultimately, it was going to be who could get around it the fastest, and the shortest distance is going around the bottom, and we saw that especially late from Brad Keselowski.
And it continues to happen week over week now, and we talk about the new NASCAR, hashtag new NASCAR, with the young guns continue to impress. Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, all having a good run. Larson kind of fell back at the end, but week over week, I'm getting more impressed with the way Chase Elliott manages his car and the way he continues to have a really consistent runs.
Yeah, Chase, he was pretty much one of the front runners all day. You saw Larson started out up at the front, found his way in the back, then worked his way back up and then back. So it was an up and down day for the 42 car, but I thought the 24 was pretty consistent out there all day long.
All day long, and that's coming off winning Saturday in the truck, sure, where he had probably the most dominant truck there. Johnny Sauter's had a good truck there as well on Saturday. But, you know, I think it's experience. And as this kid gets more and more experience, we're starting to see him be more and more consistent. And we look for big things, you know. Moving forward, this weekend he's going to a track where he's had some success at in the past at Texas. So I don't think there's any reason to doubt the talent of this driver and what he's able to do week in and week out. And his ceiling is to quote Michael Jordan in the Carolina Bulls, his ceiling is the roof, baby.
Carolina Bulls. That's
Carolina. Just throw it all in there together.
That was nice. All right, a couple other young guns running up the top, and you got to think it's not just that it's a restrictor plate, Jason, like we're used to talking about, where anybody can win. It's kind of a crapshoot. But you had Austin Dillon, you had Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Chris Buescher, and Eric Jones all finished within the top 15. So Martinsville, you've got to know how to drive, and it's evident these guys know how to do that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, those guys were out there, you know, taking care of the equipment, not tearing it up, not bumping into each other. Some were bumping into each other, but, you know, not tearing the machines up, not having to go to the garage, not busting up radiators, things like that. So, you know, those guys out there know how to drive.
That's a good lead-in to where I was going with that on the busted radiator stat there, Jason. So that was good, and we didn't even plan that. Let's talk about your guy, Dale Earnhardt Jr. He can't get anything right, and I love the fact that he's keeping a positive attitude, and that's great. But, you can only keep that positive attitude so long before things kind of start falling apart for him.
Well, he knows. He understands. He's keeping a positive attitude, but he also understands it's his own darn fault because he gets stuck back in the pack at a short track like that with a speeding penalty on pit road. And who's to blame but himself? So I think that's it. He can't go point the finger at anybody else because it's all on you for getting caught up back there in the middle and getting caught in that trash.
Yeah, he's had two instances where, you know, at Daytona he kind of got back in the pack a little bit and got into some stuff. This one was clearly not his fault that he was in the accident, but his fault that he was back there.
Sure.
And I think they were. I think the positive they take out is they had a pretty racy race car.
Yeah. He did. He really did.
I thought that they were finally starting to show something and being pretty consistent. That's one of his favorite tracks. He loves short track racing. He talks about it, you know, all the time about getting back to the roots. Well, that's one of those types of track, one of those, groundswell roots, old time traditional tracks that he loves to race on. And they were doing some positive things. But when you have a speeding penalty and you get put back there in the end of the longest line and you have to try to race your way back up, things can happen, especially at that track. And he just happened to be at the wrong place at the wrong time.
The head scratcher for me, excuse me, was the decision to pit. He didn't have very many laps on those tires.
Especially with two less sets of tires this year than they had there last year.
Why, if you're mired back there around 13, 14, 15, everybody comes in, if you don't have very many laps on your tires, don't you stay out?
And you have
to know. I'm just curious. I mean, that's where I was first scratching my head, and then he gets the.
Do you know what? Penalty. He's a tire guy. He likes to have new tires on that.
But
thing.
Sometimes you got to take those risks because I mean you're out there and you see it all the time. Another caution comes out, especially at a track where they beat bang like that.
Is there much of a risk when you're thinking about not coming in? He had probably 60 laps to go.
Yeah.
Knowing that history probably tells you in the last 20 to 30 laps you're going to have a couple of cautions. So I mean he could have definitely got in it then.
But Scott's right. He's a tire guy and it's what he's comfortable
no,
with.
No, he's yeah, you know, he's but track I mean, that position. Comes from his daddy. What was his daddy's own line? He's coming down pit road and he's not leaving until he gets four tires. So you know, he wants to have tires on that car. You know, they made him a decision. He made the mistake.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fine. They're in position to finish top 10, maybe even top 5. That car was that
it was good.
And then, you know, he makes a mistake and speeds. I think it was in the section.
It was
in the section.
Into.
It was yeah, after.
It was coming out. Section out coming out. No, it was a section coming out of his pit stall. He just got a little, you know, got a little heavy on the foot there because it's the slowest pit speed of the year. I think it's 35 miles an hour down pit road. So it doesn't take much to hit 40. Anything above 40, and they're going to start throwing out penalty flags, and they send him to the back.
I just look and see some of these guys, you know, like out there. And I know it's a totally different scenario, but Newman taking chances out there comes away with a victory, steals a victory out there. Some of the pit strategy, I think you got to put yourself in position with that good track position.
Well,
and I don't know.
At some point, you got to quit being you got to quit being conservative if you're him. You've got to take chances, to your point, to get up there. Even if you still win, that could lead to momentum. You've seen Newman after he won that race. He's been running pretty doggone good and consistent after winning that. So, you know, I think at that point, that's the chance to do it. You know you got a good car. You know if you get fresh rubber when everybody else, you know, may stay out or whatever, you can get some positions and possibly put you in the chance to win.
Still comes back to a bottom line. He sped. That's why he's back there.
And that's why you're there. You know, you made the mistake. The guys winning races aren't making mistakes, especially late in races. You can overcome, you know, we've seen Joey Logano come from two laps down in this particular race. So you can make mistakes early, but you cannot afford to make mistakes late, especially at a track where it's very difficult to pass. You know, the racing was good, but that's a tough track to pass when there's very limited room in terms of the amount of lanes there. And he struggled, you know, and put himself in position where he was going to have to pass a lot of cars to get back up there, and just didn't work out for him.
Absolutely. So funny, though, that him and Blaney are still having this issue after Blaney spins him out or whatever at Martinsville this past weekend and tries to call him afterwards. And the tweet from Dale Earnhardt Jr. said, "Old too soon, good buddy." So I don't think you wanted to hear from him yet as far as what happened. So it'll be fun to kind of watch that rivalry. Speaking of another instance that happened on the racetrack, Kyle Busch can't seem to get out of anybody's way, it seems like, this year. I think he did a discount on his T-shirts now. They're no longer $22. They're $17 because of Ricky Stenhouse pushing him out of the way before I think it was the first segment or second segment, so you can get a better finish. This is something that's going to happen with these segments on the short track. So, you know, do you blame Stenhouse for what he did?
No,
or is it?
No.
Go ahead.
Kyle Busch has moved and bumped his share of other drivers on the track.
Oh, that's a good
circuit.
That's a good call.
He's bumped his share. It only becomes an issue when he gets moved or bumped out of the way.
Right.
It's the only problem I have with Kyle.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, it's never his fault.
Yeah.
Nothing's his fault.
He's
great driver, but he needs to understand that he's done the same thing.
And
he'll continue to do the same
thing. What's unique, Jason, is that he's actually gotten better about some of this as he's gotten a little bit older. He's not as bad as he was. It was never his fault in the past. Now he just kind of pouts about it a little bit. But that's just – and part of that's what makes him a great race car driver, is that he's willing to take chances, and he accepts that he's going to do whatever it takes to win. Sometimes he's not good when somebody else decides they're going to do whatever they can do to win. So the flip side of that is where he struggles just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, do it like the old days, okay? You know, you beat and bang around, but you don't bring it up. You don't put yourself a target on your back. You just get them back some other time. You just don't mention it.
Yeah, but with the modern day media, you can't do that.
Just keep it to yourself. Oh, he's got a hit list out there.
Yeah, he does have a hit list.
But there's a lot of people out there with him on their hit list.
Oh, I'm sure. Exactly. I'm sure as well. But he has raised, I saw that he's raised over $30,000 for his charity, selling those T-shirts, the Everything is Great T-shirt. So he took something that was a negative and turned it into a positive.
Good for him. It'll go along with his wife's clothing line that they've got going on. Wow. Get on Twitter. Follow them. You'll see all that stuff. Speaking of one thing that was really good was his race at the end with Keselowski. Probably the most entertaining, 20 to 30 lap segment I saw, with clean racing coming out of both of those camps. And you know that Kyle Busch has a little bit of an issue with one of the Penske drivers. You were kind of just waiting on something to happen there to see it happen again.
They've had their issues in the past. There's no doubt about that. When Brad was introduced at Bristol one year, and he called, Kyle Busch.
Get the dump button ready, Scott.
A word out there. Hey, we can censor this a little bit better than Fox did on their broadcast on Sunday.
Yeah, this
Sunday,
weekend.
Right?
Yeah, that was terrific.
The great save by Mike Joy there. Awesome. They've had their history, but they raced clean.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch.
And it was almost like Kyle Busch just pulled over and let him go there at the end. When he finally passed him,
well,
I think Kyle's car was
at some points you're going to use it. You're going to use your car up so bad that second place is not where you're going to end up, fifth or sixth.
Right.
Even with the amount of laps to go, it was clear, the last 40 laps or so that Keselowski just had he was be able to drive so far deep into the corner. Now Busch was a little better accelerating off the corner, but Keselowski was so good getting into the corner that eventually he just was going to run him down. And to avoid an incident, I think Kyle just said, hey, look, this guy's either going to wreck me and I'm going to finish 23rd, or I can just move out of the way and finish second and be a little frustrated that I didn't win the race. And I think that's the sign of a mature Kyle Busch. Now, when he gets the microphone in front of him, it becomes pout fest again. But I think the race car driver realized in that situation that he was in trouble, and he made the best decision for his team.
And you brought up Keselowski there with the better car. And I definitely think by watching the race, and you can see, and we talked about it, touched on it a little bit earlier, the two best cars out in there were the Penske cars. When you look at Logano being two laps down,
and what he was
able to
do.
Get that done and get back up there and finish like he did.
You can make that statement week in and week out right now. They're just consistently, they're up there every single week. What they've got going on is strong.
Absolutely. And when we come back, we'll hear from our race winner, Brad Keselowski. Also, put Martinsville to bed, and we'll start talking about Texas. We'll be right back in just a second on Racing Talk Radio.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios, Racing Talk Radio. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. I kind of like that song, Scott. You're doing well.
Thanks, buddy.
Gatling Rush. You got to love it.
Yeah, that's why I'm here, make you feel better.
That's exactly not right, but right. Okay. All right, so just got done talking about some Martinsville. Let's talk about the winner of Martinsville. This would be his second win, so really putting himself in a good position for the playoffs. We need to get something on that. For the playoffs at the end of the year with two wins already. The one thing that I've noticed that I want to talk about after this is we've got one Chevrolet win this year. Two. Kyle Larson, too. So the Fords seem to be doing pretty well. I guess we can talk about the Toyotas later because they're not doing so well. So let's talk about Brad Keselowski. This guy, Mr. Consistency, if you could ever say Mr. Consistency on a driver now this year. And he seems to run fast. Penske seems to have it going in a pretty right direction. You would think at the first of the year with Kurt Busch winning in a Ford that it might have been the SHR camp, but that's kind of fell off and Penske's taken back over.
Penske's is strong every single week. I mean, we saw it even last year, but I think they look even stronger this year, taking over, where we thought. You look at how good the JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing, was last year. I think the kind of the crown right now is handed over to Penske as far as the strength of the teams. Even though you're looking at a two-car operation, versus multiple four cars, and then four cars was SHR.
Well,
they're the class.
Well, you got to remember too that Blaney is aligned with that organization, and it's not like he's been terrible either. So I think he's sitting sixth in points. So I think there's always been talent in that garage. It's been the consistency week in, mm-hmm. week out, and we're seeing it now. We're seeing these guys show up to the track. They've always qualified well, which is tremendously important when you talk about pit selection and all that. So they're qualifying well, they're running well, they're finishing races well, and they're putting themselves in position. Are they going to win every week? No, but they are putting themselves in position to win week in and week out. And you know, Logano doesn't even have a win yet. He's had a car that's been capable of winning more than one occasion this year. So they're putting their best foot forward week in and week out and saying, look, we think we're the best organization, best team in the sport. Prove us wrong. And right now, nobody can prove them wrong.
Let's hear from what Brad had to say after the race and his win at Martinsville.
You know, the two wins this year both come at tracks that I haven't won at before, and we haven't won at as a team before. So certainly that feels really good to be able to check some off the list. And with everything else that goes into today, there's seemed to be a lot of numerology today with this being the Team Penske 1,000 start here in this series. And it's been a long time since Ford won here. I can't remember how long, but 02. So.
Yeah, 02, whatever that was, right? Maybe he was talking about his number. So at the end of
It's been, you know, they've had some struggles. Ford has at Martinsville. So I think what he was saying, it's been since
2002. Yeah, that was the first win. Yeah, Kurt Busch was the last one.
Yeah, to win, and since then. So, they, you know, it's been 15 years since they've won a race there. So.
That was probably the last race that Roush won as well in a Ford back in those
it
days.
Seems, sometimes it seems like it. What they're able to do, and from the time the car unloads until the checker flag flies, is by far and away the best in the sport right now. They're consistently good. May not be the best, but they're consistently good in all phases. Whether it's, you know, at qualifying, during practice, you know, when the race starts, throughout the race, they're making the right decisions and putting themselves in the best position. Now, I will say this: Paul Wolf, Keselowski's crew chief, they appealed their suspension, so he has been there. So now I think he's going to have to sit for a couple weeks. Kevin Harvick, on the other hand, Rodney Childers has been out for a couple weeks, so I think he's got one more week and then he'll be back. We'll see if we start to see things ramp up with the Ford team over the course of the next week. But it's clear what those Penske cars are doing week in and week out is just top of the line.
When you think about Brad Keselowski's, we can say short career, it seems like he's been there forever. Do you think he's one of the top 3 to 5 drivers right now as far as driving ability, the way he gets his car better throughout the race and not kind of going backwards? Do you think he would fit in that top 5 category right now?
Current drivers.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I think you look at the top 5 drivers, and he would definitely be in mind, along with, you know, like a Kyle Busch would be there, Jimmy Johnson. I think you can't have that list currently right now without Joey Logano, without Keselowski, and without Kevin Harvick.
And when you think about this, Scott, as far as historically, when that was the point, when Brad Keselowski's career is over, we know he's got one championship now. How do you think he'll be viewed? Do you think he'll be viewed?
And don't you think? I think the book's still being written on that. I think obviously he's done enough in the sport already to be considered, you know, one. I don't want to say all-time greats, but definitely in the conversation of those guys that have made an impact in the sport. And he's still a young guy. This mm-hmm. is a guy that's still capable of winning multiple championships. He's going to win multiple races as long as he does the right things and stays out of trouble and doesn't make any mistakes. He seems like he has his life in order. He just recently got married. He's got a kid. He's got a race team, a truck team that's doing well. So he seems to be entrenched in the sport and wants to see it succeed. And he is kind of leading the charge. You know, he's not, we don't consider him one of the young guns, those barely, you know, old enough to buy an adult beverage guys, but he's not really that much older,
no.
25, 26 years old. So this guy's going to have a long career, and as long as he is doing the things he needs to do and gives himself an opportunity week in and week out, the wins are going to come, and we're seeing that effect already.
You know, you look at him, and I don't look at him as kind of the same way. It's kind of hard to compare But I don't see him being like a Jeff Gordon, how Jeff Gordon was so dominant early on in his career. I look at him more like a Tony Stewart guy, a guy that goes out there and is very competitive every week, gives himself a chance to win, you know, a Tony Stewart without running over people, I guess.
Right. And so you could – and
ouch.
I get, that's a really good point if you think about
by
it.
By the way, Stewart with a midget win this weekend.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Stewart didn't have a ton of championships, mm-hmm. but he had – what did he have, three?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could see Brad Keselowski, and I think the days of – of winning 7-8 championships like Jimmy Johnson's been able to do are probably over.
Well, they probably said that too about when Dale Earnhardt won his
right.
seventh one. Like, there nobody's gonna
touch him.
Nobody's gonna do that. And then you know what, Jimmy? He's put himself in position to be competitive year in and year out, especially with the resources and the money that's in that organization. As long as he's paying attention and doing the things he needs to do, and they continue to hire good people and good engineers, they're going to put themselves in position to win multiple championships. Is he going to win seven? I can't sit here and say he's going to win 7-8 championships. It's almost laughable with the amount of talent that's around right now to say that somebody's going to win that amount. But he's going to be in position there year in and year out. You know, his trouble the last couple of years in the Chase now playoff format, he's not been able to get to that final step. He's had some issues, or they make a mistake at the wrong time. If they can iron some of that stuff out, they're definitely capable of winning races and championships.
Easier to win a championship now or 20 years ago? I think it's easier now.
The playoff format makes it, I think it makes it a little more challenging because it's a little more of a crapshoot. You have a bad week at the wrong time, and you could find yourself not advancing to the next round. Whereas the old system, where you're just trying to be consistent, you know, you're Matt Kenseth. You know, that's how Kenseth won his title.
Kenseth.
Yeah. You know, he's out there finishing second and third and fourth and fifth every single week, and it's just hard. You start accumulating all those points. I think that the playoff system makes it a little more difficult because you've got to be able to survive in advance. I know that March Madness just ended, you've got to be able to give yourself a chance to be in that final race and then have one good race to win a championship. So I think there's a lot of variables there.
And you really could go three-fourths of the season 20 years ago and having good, consistent runs and a couple of wins, and it was pretty much locked up. All you had to do was finish. And I think that's the thing.
I mean, how many times have we seen, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., or Dale Earnhardt, when he won some of his championships, there's four races left in the season. All
right.
He had to do is just show up, turn the car on, and he's pulling down a trophy. I mean, we've seen that in the past. You can't do that anymore. You've got to those 3 week segments to put yourself in position just to get to the last race to win a championship. It makes it a little more unique, and I think it's a little more difficult than it's ever been.
And it brings up a point here that I just thought of. When you think about the champions of old, and when I say old, 20 years ago, you've got Bobby Labonte, Terry Labonte, you've got Dale Earnhardt, you've got Jeff Gordon. None of those guys were consistent racers. They wanted to keep the body on the car. They were there at the end, and that's how they won the championship. The guys that are winning now, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, you know, you could throw Jimmy Johnson in there because he's kind of had both, but those guys, they're either hot or they're not. It's almost.
There's only one driver that was really in contention that was just out there points racing. That was Ryan Newman a couple years ago.
Right.
Other than that, everybody's out there winning races multiple times a year.
You can't just go out and drive it around and be consistent and get a top 10.
Well, listen, I think you can. It's not if you're running second, third. If you're pulling a Kyle Larson and you're running second or third or, you know, week in and week out, you're going to give yourself an excellent opportunity to advance. But when you get to those last couple rounds and it starts whittling down between eight, you know, drivers, and you've got to be in that top four to get in there, it's a little more difficult when guys are winning races and automatically qualifying. You know, we've seen with this new format the last couple of years that not only do you have to win races to get to that last race, the winner has been winning that last race. So there's a lot of stuff to get to that final stage just to give yourself an opportunity to win a championship. To me, it's great. It's great for the sport. But are we going to see a dominant driver? I think it's going to be much harder to do than it has been in the past.
Absolutely.
Now, that's one man's opinion. I'm sure Arnold Tarpley disagrees with me.
Well, like he normally does, right?
Yeah, I would too. It wasn't my own opinion.
What was it? Be consistent in the first 26 is what Arnold says. So that's what you got to do. All right, we need to get a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Texas. We'll also give you the Monster Energy Series point standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylock. We'll be back in just a second.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Bus.
Welcome back live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio. Easy for me to say. This is Racing Talk Radio.
Got Jason Hildebrand on the air drums in here.
Exactly. Thank you for joining us and making us a part of your day. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Interesting discussion last segment.
You can go to the podcast and listen. If you missed it, you can go back and listen to it later.
Absolutely.
Follow us on Twitter, Racing Talk Radio.
And go to Facebook.
Yeah, it's on the Facebook page. Radio. Yep.
You can. There's no way you can avoid us if you want to listen to us. So,
and we're sorry about that.
Exactly. So, all right, let's get into our Monster Energy Series point standings. That's brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylike. Listen, I keep saying this week over week because she has people that wants to buy houses on Mouse Creek Road. I happen to live there, but we're not going to give it up yet. So, she is looking for houses on Mouse Creek Road. She's got buyers that are interested in doing that. Make sure you give her a call, 473-9545, or you can call her on her cell, 650-9429. That is Stephanie Painter at Krylike. Scott, take it away.
Well, I got to get my glasses on. That's a sad
That's
state of
old
affairs.
Old man glasses,
yeah,
right there.
Let me get.
I need a picture to put on.
Yeah,
Facebook
we need to get that on. Well, I was trying to pull it up on the internet, but I couldn't.
Is that a gray hair by the ear?
Be quiet. Yeah. I'm going to mute you for the rest of the show. So if there's a lot of silence, it's not anybody's fault.
There's the picture.
Kyle Larson still sits on top of the Monster Energy Series point standings. Chase Elliott is second. Martin Truex Jr. third, Brad Keselowski, the two-time winner, is fourth, Joey Logano fifth, Kyle Busch is sixth, Ryan Blaney sits in seventh. I can't wait to see that 21 car go wild this weekend at Texas. Cliff Bowyer up to eighth in the points stand. Jamie McMurray, who had a rough weekend in Martinsville, the ninth. And rounding out your top ten is Kevin Harvick. That's the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series point standing.
And I did read that as you were reading it, just to make sure you're correct and didn't
yeah,
mess
that's
up
now my eyes are blurry as
glasses.
I take those things off.
So, Monster Energy Series point standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Krylike. Probably one of the best realtors in Cleveland, Tennessee. Hardworking, will get it sold for you if you got a house on Mouse Creek Road. Make sure you give her a call, 473-9545, or her sale at 650-9429.
I'm still a little surprised at the amount of big name drivers that, you know, you've got in, outside the top 10. You've got, you know, Junior, obviously we talked about that. Kurt Busch, the Daytona 500 winner.
Matt
you
Kenseth.
Got Matt Kenseth, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin, a lot of guys mm-hmm. outside the top 10 right now. And at some point, I know we're only 1/6 of the way through, six races in, but at some point you got to start moving up the point because it doesn't look like these guys in the top 10 are going to slow down. We're starting to see a resurgence from Clint Bowyer being pretty racy week in and week out. And these young guys, Blaney, Elliott, Larson, these guys aren't, they're not going away. They're the best cars in their organization. They're going to be around. So if you're, you know, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th back, you're going to have to start finding a way. You know, a win still gets you in, but you're going to have to find a way to start moving up the ladder before it gets a little too late.
I mean, you look at basically your last big name driver out there and as multiple winners is Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's in 25th. Okay. He's 169 points behind. He has 99 points. 99 points.
Larson probably has that many in stage points.
Right.
Ty Dillon has three more than he does. Not very good.
That's Ty Dillon.
Daniel Suarez, who's had an awful year, has eight more than Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah, so it's time to go.
He's in trouble.
And you think about where we're going at Texas, where historically Dale Earnhardt Jr. got his first win there. You know, has ran well there, and we've got a new pavement down now. Mm-hmm. So it's going to completely change the track, plus the reconfiguration a little bit of making it wider.
Make it a little wider. They've lowered the banking, I think, in the turns, especially in one and two. They're bringing a tire there. They didn't have time to test a tire there, so they're bringing a tire, the Kentucky tire, to the track. So it's going to be interesting to see how if we have tire issues this week, because I use the same kind of asphalt mix, I believe, if I read that correctly today, that is similar to what Kentucky had. So that it was important that you know, that Goodyear find something similar to bring. They couldn't just mass produce something real quick, so they're going to bring the Kentucky tire. Hopefully we won't have a lot of issues with the new tire and with the repave there.
Somebody that's had a really good run there over the years and is top of the most active driver rating is Jimmy Johnson. And they asked Jimmy, they said, you've been so good there, you know, over the years, do you feel like the repave could hurt your team?
I saw something online with Chris Buescher driving a pace car or something around the track, and 3 and 4 looks like I would expect, but 1 and 2 has changed quite a bit. And after watching, I'm excited. I'm not sure where we'll run and why we will run there, but it's a much different turns 1 and 2, and I think brings some fun excitement to that track. Obviously, with our successor, I hate to see it repaved and I hate to see all the bumps gone. And
I'm sure he does, because I mean that's one of the tracks that he's been really good at. And talking about somebody who really needs a win is Jimmy Johnson. I mean, he's had some issues, kind of been up and down year for him. So going to Texas, not being sure of what to expect, that's going to be a big challenge for everybody.
I have no worries about the 48 getting a win this year. I mean,
none whatsoever.
Now, you add the number 40 to that 48,
right.
I have worries about the 88 picking up a victory this year, not so much the 48. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Even Jimmy there, he says, we really don't know where we're going to run. There's going to be trial and error out there to see what happens. You look at the practice sessions we'll go through. I don't think it's really going to matter, to be honest with you, because he's good. He's really good, and he'll find a way to go out on the track.
Mile and a half and Jimmy Johnson have been synonymous for a year, so you would expect at some point they're going to figure it out. I think they've had some speed in the cars. Sometimes they've not been able to have consistent speed in his particular car. They've had some mistakes and stuff, but it's still too early to worry about that car and that team with their track record.
You still got Dover out there. So that's, you know, the winner right there for
him. Yeah, another driver that runs good there, Kyle Busch, is actually third in the most active driver rating. So if you're picking in the office pools, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Matt Kenseth, Kyle Busch, not a bad choice if you were going there, or Chase Elliott, whichever one. In his short career, he is fourth. But Kyle Busch was talking about the new surface as well and really kind of trying to figure out how his team's going to get grasp on it.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole new repave. So to me, those are the absolute worst racetracks we can ever go to. I hate repaves, but it's a part of our schedule. It's a part of our sport. And 5 years from now, 6 years from now, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that aspect of it, you know. But right out of the gate, going there and trying to put rubber down, and it's slick, man. It's so treacherous and just hard to get a hold of and hard to understand what you're feeling with your car. Because you can think you're tight and you got all the grip in the world and you're going around the corner and then boom, it just busts loose from out from under you with no warning. You know, those are the worst things. And as Joey was talking about earlier, that's why the older racetracks, the more aged racetracks, the Atlantas, the Californias, you're sliding the whole time. So you're already against the slide. You don't have maximum grip. So you're already playing with it and trying to get the most out of yourself and the car that you possibly can. And you're not just locked down, locked in, solid, and then it just jumps out from under you, you know. So I don't necessarily look forward to repaves, but we got one coming up. So got to do what we know. There's really no homework to do. You can't even watch last year's races. You can't look at anything besides the...
You know, besides the, yeah, the track. That's what he can look at. But, you know, the thing is with Kyle Busch is all he's been in the media doesn't have a win, and that's kind of unusual for him. As much as he's been in the media, this could be an important track for him this week.
I do know if things go wrong for the 18 team, who's going to get the blame this weekend? It's the repave.
Right.
Definitely
he's
the
repave. He's setting himself up for that. So.
Yeah, I mean, he has been out there, you know, a lot in the media with the issues with Joey Logano, even last week with Stenhouse. Now, he was competitive last week and had a chance to win. It's just the two was flat out a better car. I think if you look through the field, you look at the 2 and 22, I don't think if 22 had issues, I don't think Busch would have held him off. But you look at the 18, I think he was better than everybody else besides the two Penske cars. But there's going to be a time and place for Kyle to go out there and win, and it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and I think that the whole JGR is still looking for a little consistency. They've had some struggle. You know, Kenseth, he's been in the wrong place at the wrong time multiple times already this year. They were so dominant at the start of last season. It's when they struggle a little coming out of the gate, you wonder if there's something major going on. But it could be that what we talked about last year is everybody has caught up to them. Now it's their turn to make their adjustment to see if they can push themselves ahead. You know, the engineers trying to find a way to squeeze out just a few more horsepower, just to, you know, get a little more downforce on the car so it turns a little better. So it's everybody's caught up. Now it's their turn. We'll see them make an adjustment. We've definitely not heard the last of Kyle Busch and that organization.
You know, one thing that hasn't been talked about much this year with the Toyotas is the fact that they're the only manufacturer that are running the 2018 version of that car. And you wonder how much that is playing a role in the way they're running now. And if it's not, everybody's caught up with them, but they haven't caught up with the 18 Toyota Camry.
Well, it could be that. And then you look at the flip side of that is now they're setting themselves up for success on down the road as they get more comfortable with this body type and that stuff. So there's some give on this end, but by the end it's going to be it's going to pay dividends and ultimately get them a championship.
You know, Jason, Kevin Harvick runs really well on mile and a half tracks, and it's kind of been not the Kevin Harvick type of year that we're used to seeing here lately, especially at the first of the year where he usually has pretty good runs. Do you think that's more of the Ford, you know, switch kind of catching up to them now, and they're not as good as they are, not where they thought they were going to be at this point in time, or is it? What do you think?
I'm not sure, because you said we touched on earlier. You look at Clint Bowyer out there driving better than anybody else in the SHR organization. Kurt Busch had a win at Daytona, slipped into that, and has been pretty much junk ever since. Danica's just Danica. She goes out there and you know, sometimes finishes mid-pack. But really a year unlike any other for Harvick, like you touched on. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with manufacturing, or you can just look at it. Some of it's just bad luck out there.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think that I thought going into the season, I think we're going to see peaks and valleys as they make, you know, this is a complete change in terms of, you know, the body and how it sits in the chassis and the engine sits in the chassis and all sorts of stuff. So there's going to be things and a learning curve for them. You know, it didn't help that his crew chief got suspended at the beginning of the year. So I think
it didn't help that he cheated either.
Well, I mean, you could look, you could look at it that way as well. I don't think there's any doubt. We saw that car run at Daytona, and he was fast at Daytona. All those Fords were mm-hmm. fast at Daytona. We've seen him dominate Atlanta and just not get a win. He could very easily be sitting here with a win right now. He had clearly the best car that day. So I think they'll figure it out. I, just like Jimmy Johnson, I'm not to the point where I'm concerned yet. But they got to find a way to stay out of wrecks, and they had a little stretch with that a couple weeks ago. They've got to be a little more consistent, but I think it'll come. And then once they figure it out, we know what he can do when he can get on a roll. He can be the best driver in the sport, and I fully expect to see him be in the mix come July, August, September.
You know, one of the things that you think about is that Texas is kind of in between Martinsville and then Bristol and Richmond. So you've got a track here that's a mile and a half, and horsepower is going to play a big role. If you don't have a good run here, it's going to be hard to make it up at Bristol and Richmond when it's not as much about horsepower and you've got closer together, and the possibility for wrecks and getting in trouble is more important.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thank you for that.
I agree with all that.
More important. So yeah. That's why Texas is important. Okay,
well,
that's good.
You know, I think as for Harvick and that organization, I think they have speed in the cars. All you had to do is go back and look at Daytona. Those Fords were as fast as anybody. I think it's learning the ins and outs of all the stuff and with all the changes and being able to make the car turn and do the type of stuff. Obviously, Clint Bowyer and his team have figured it out because they've been very racy the last couple of weeks. I think there's too much talent in that organization. You know, you're talking about a former champion, two former champions that are kind of struggling right now. But those guys are talented. They'll figure it out.
And what I was thinking here is that, you know, I'm really not concerned with Harvick right now because there's plenty of tracks out there that he's good at. He can get a win. It's not like A.J. Allmendinger, his last shots at a road course or anything like that. I think there's plenty of time to go out there and get a victory. And we saw him almost come away with one in Atlanta, but unfortunately he didn't.
Absolutely. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about our power rankings along with our picks to win. We'll be right back in just a second.
We'll be back faster than a buzz off a can of Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. Racing Talk Radio. I'm Jamie Kyle. Jason Hildebrand. Scott Webb. I just want to leave some time there and let that play. That's good. As you're turning it down.
It's my job, unless you don't want anybody to hear what you got to say.
That's true.
And there may be some people out there. There may be some people out there that fully agree with that.
They tuned out about 48 minutes ago. So it's good. All right, let's get to it. The power rankings for Texas this week. All right, so I had to go with Brad Keselowski. We were talking about a little off air on the tracks that he could possibly win this year that he runs good at. Kept Kyle Larson number two. I know somebody in this room has Kyle Larson number one. I think the consistency of how he's running, I'm interested to see what the 42 has done three-fourths of the way into to this season and to see if he can keep that consistency up. Chase Elliott, number three, like I said at the beginning of the show, week in, week out, the guy's consistent, keeps defenders on the car, and finishes well. Kyle Busch, my guy, number 18 is four. Yeah, that's exactly. We should have that chant going
on. Yeah, I do. We should have that.
But Kyle Busch, even though it's
number 18 on the card, number one in your heart.
And it's not his fault that he's fourth in my power ranking. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. It's mine.
Number one in a lot of drivers' hearts.
Right, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
And then I think I'm the only one that's done this week, but I've put the 48 of Jimmy Johnson in the top five of my power rankings.
Is it seven-time championship recognition week or something? What's he done to deserve to be in your top?
That might have bought him a little bit of deal, but I think these next stretch of tracks that he's coming up to are power tracks for him that he's good at.
So this is
and Eric Jones is ahead of him in the points.
Hey,
this is like I know everybody's out there watching out there watching radar and all that sort of stuff. It's like this. It's like the future radar when you can just push the button and see what it's going to do and
right.
and 10, 15, 20 minutes from now. That's exactly what I'm looking at now.
I see the justification here, though.
Put the 48 there because the 48's going to – I can't say that yet. Nope. Are we doing picks to win? Yeah, save that. Hold on to that. Jason, power rankings.
My power rankings pretty much mirror the top three of yours. I did not know that, trust me. Brad Keselowski first, Kyle Larson
smart
second.
You are.
Well, yeah. No, that's what I was just going to say. Great minds, huh?
Chase Elliott third, and the 78 of Martin Truex Jr. fourth, and I got Joey Logano in fifth in my power rankings.
So let me get this right. Jamie has the 48 in and doesn't have Truex in, who has a win. But hey, it's your power rankings. You do you, buddy.
And
our good buddy Arnold Tarpley texts in at the 48.
Hey, along with two other people to me, the 48. Just watch and learn. Yeah. Watch and learn. Get on the future cast.
Hey, future track.
Get on the future cast.
Look at the forecast there. Let's do some predicting. I kept Kyle Larson on top of my this is just past one of his worst tracks. And actually was doing some good things. The car got kind of away from him a little bit late. I think ended up 11th or something like that. But a good run for him. But look at the consistency from the very start of the race.
Awesome.
Like I've said, he could have won four, maybe five times already. He's been in position. Tremendous start to the season. Obviously what the two cars been able to do, two wins. The one win kind of fell in his lap. We talked about that in Atlanta. But this is a guy, and we talked about this during the break, could win not just two, three, four races. He could win six, seven, eight races when you start looking at some of the tracks that are out there where he's good at. They're good everywhere, but there's some tracks where he's really good at. So he could definitely make a move. We all three had the 24 car. Very impressed with what Chase Elliott's doing, sitting in third spot. Going to be there at the end this year. This is a very, without a doubt, the best car in the Hendrick garage right now. We have the 78 car, number four.
That's two of us.
Thanks. And your boy, number one,
Rowdy.
I appreciate you. I got Rowdy.
At some point that they're getting closer. I think he's much further along than the other three cars in that organization and putting themselves in position week in and week out. The drop off to the other three cars, not as dramatic as some organizations, but, there's still a little bit of a drop off, but, Rowdy is definitely a car, and like I said last week, I think you add Joey Logano to that. I think he's the only outside of Jimmy Johnson for some reason that's on this list. But everybody else picked the same four or five guys. I think you add Joey Logano to that list, and you're talking about the best six drivers right now in the sport. They're the most consistent.
The history of my power ranking picks.
It all started with the 41 of Regan Smith.
Regan Smith. I mean, putting Regan Smith in there, I think, was classic. Hey. And then throwing the 48 in there now.
But I'm telling you guys, still keep your eyes on that 21. I had him in my power rankings a couple weeks ago. I just see other guys out there
that
are more impressive.
I can't wait to watch the 41
at Talladega.
and he'll be – he
to
knows
watch
one
– Bush?
The 21.
The 21. There he has one speed, and that's foot to the floor.
But it reminds me so much of Larson a couple years ago.
Where
he's banging it off
just
the walls.
Banging it off the walls. I've got one speed, and it's flat out. I think he's fun to watch. I think he'll be fun to watch this week at Texas.
Should be very interesting. All right, let's go to picks to win. Of course, the reason that I throw Jimmy Johnson in there as the number five in my power rankings is because he will probably move up the ladder this week because I'm picking the 48, Jimmy Johnson. JJ, seven-time boom confetti, is going to win this week at Texas. Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going with a young man down the road from Dawsonville, Georgia. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott to win. I pick his first victory.
You know, they still have the bell down there.
They got the ring this weekend as he looked pretty good running that truck. I don't think Johnny Sauter, his teammate, was real happy with him at the end. But, when you get behind the wheel, you're there to win. I like the Chase Elliott pick. I would have picked him if you hadn't already picked him.
That's not really a good justification to not pick him.
No, it's not. But in the good nature fun that this pick'em has become, I thought I'd go different. I'm going to stay in the Penske organization. I think Joey Logano finally figures out this week what they're being able to stay. They can't seem to get out of their own way. The race cars have been fast. They've had some things happen. You know, he gets a cut. He can't even qualify at California. So they have to start because of some troubles getting through tech. This week they cut a tire. You know, it's just if they can avoid some of those things that are outside of what happens when the checker flag or when the green flag flies, if they can, you know, just take care of their business, I think they're going to put themselves in great position. Those Penske cars are fast, and I look for Logano to punch his first win of the season, his ticket.
You know, it's wild. You're talking about the things there that's happened to that car, the 22. He's sitting in fifth in points. So, I mean, he's made some pretty dang good recoveries, even out in California, last week at Martinsville. And I think it's just because of the quality of the organization and the quality of car it is.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this as we do every week. Storylines that we think we're going to see coming out of this week at Texas.
Junior gets his first top 10.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's almost crazy talk.
I'm going with that for every week.
I think the story of the weekend is going to be the repave. I think everybody's going to talk about that. They didn't have, you know, they didn't have time to do like Bristol did and get some tire wear on it and do some stuff. So it's going to be – they're going to gripe about – the drivers are not going to be happy. So you might as well, if you're watching it from practice, the time those cars roll off the truck on Friday and start practicing, there's going to be a lot of upset, angry people. But it is what it is. It may make for an exciting race because there's some unknown. It's who's going to figure it out first. So I think the repavement, obviously those things tie hand to hand. So it's who's going to be able to manage their tires, how much tire wear is there going to be on that new surface. That to me is going to be the big storylines for the weekend.
I want to say we have a Toyota in the not Martin Truex Jr. that wins this week. So I think this is the big thing for.
So wait a second.
You picked Jimmy Johnson.
So you picked Jimmy Johnson to win, and then now you're going to throw. You're going to.
I didn't read where this had to make sense.
Put an umbrella over the rest of the Toyotas and say, hey.
Maybe I forgot my glasses, old man, when I was reading
And the weather for Fort Worth on Sunday is calling for 84 degrees and wind.
I'm all for wind because if anything that makes it harder for those guys to drive.
It's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, that makes it – I want to see a little –
Kyle might blame the wind then.
Yeah, he could.
If it's not the pavement.
But tradition unlike any other. Yeah. Texas.
Texas. The O'Reilly Auto Parts 500. That'll be on Sunday at 1:30. On FS1, also PRN will have the coverage here on 101.3 The Buzz. Again, goes by really fast when we're talking NASCAR. Tune in next week as we'll be going to another short track the following week after Texas. So it'll be great to talk about what's going to go on there and the results from this past Sunday. Thank you for joining us and making us a part of your day. I'm Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand, Racing Talk Radio. Talk to you next week.
This has been Racing Talk Radio. Join Jamie, Kyle, and Scott Webb every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.